You are tuned to KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rude, and I have on the phone with me the chairman of the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, Mike Slavik. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Hello. Thanks for having me. You're real well.
You're very welcome. I also have as a special guest today Commissioner Joe Atkins, who also sits on the Dakota County Board. And Commissioner Atkins, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. It's been a month since we've had Mike on the show last, and things have been kind of moving along steadily since then. But what I'd like to start with today is, since we have our special guest, Commissioner Atkins, I'd just like to go over a bit of your background, sir, and getting on the Board of Commissioners and a little bit of your backstory getting to that point.
Well, sure. And bottom line, like, I just can't hold a job. So I've been a school board member and a mayor and a legislator and now a county board member. I'm a longtime Dakota County. I was born in Dakota County. My wife Julie and I grew up here. I went to school, church here, chose to raise our family here. The area means a lot to us. And so it sort of instilled in me growing up, you give back to your community. And that's what I don't have any super high aspirations in political office, more so just to do the best that we can for our community.
All right. Go ahead.
No, so my story is I went to Sibley High School in Inver Grove, worked my way through University of Minnesota and law school, I've been practicing law for, 28 years now, small business owner, and just happy to be on the county board with Mike and the five other county commissioners from across Dakota County for the last 4 years. It's been a really neat opportunity, and for good or ill, the voters of Dakota County are going to have to put up with me for another couple years because I'm absent a write-in campaign. I'm unopposed this time around. First time since I was mayor of Inver Grove years ago, first time that I've been unopposed. So don't quite know what to do with myself, Mike.
So, being on the board for the years that you have, what have you seen that really, I don't even know exactly how to say it, but what are the things that you've seen that the board has done or needs to do, or however that works, that really kind of moves you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. Actually, what appealed to me and the reason I wanted to be on the county board when it was an open seat that I ran for 4 years ago when Nancy Showiler retired, is because of people like Mike Slavik. If you know Mike, and I know virtually everybody in Hastings probably does, but he's kind of a good indicator of most of our board. We're problem solvers. You know, the partisan stuff. Everybody has viewpoints on politics and all of that, but when we enter the county offices, we sort of set aside the politics and we just solve problems. And it's so refreshing it was the same when I was a mayor. You know, you get five folks around the table in Case County Board, now it's seven, and you just figure out what the issues are. You go through the facts and you try to address the issues that are going on in the community, or in this case, in the county. I'm the last person. I'm not complaining about my time in the legislature. I was there for 14 years. I was told when I left that I passed more bipartisan laws than any other legislator in the last 10 years when I retired. So I was pretty good at working with folks from both sides. It's just so refreshing to not. We don't worry about partisan politics. We just worry about problem solving, and we do big things, important things. That happen at the county level. It's the most retail level of government. It's the most hands-on, where you're impacting people's lives on a daily basis, whether they know it or not. Because probably the number one question I get, I'm sure it's true for you, Mike, is, well, what does the county do, right? So, Mike, what's the answer that you give when people ask you what the county does? I've got kind of a standard, but do you have a standard answer? I never asked you that.
I always go and say, you know, we're seven elected officials that go in and really kind of provide things that you actually don't even know the county does, like if you go to a library, if you drive on these certain roads, if you go to one of the parks. I said we're the level of government that goes in and kind of provides a lot of those services across the entire county, but we also go in if by chance you or any of your family members would have some tough times in life, we provide the social services for the state of Minnesota, and that's done at the county level, and the seven of us make those decisions as well.
I like that's myself. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I like myself being a news reporter for Hastings. I really do appreciate the fact that there aren't a lot of partisan issues in politics at the county or the city level, for that matter. We have these groups of people that are working their hardest to come up with a best solution for the community, and not so much along a party line or an ideology philosophy. It's just what's best for the community, and I really do appreciate that.
Well, we have colleagues in Hennepin and Ramsey, for example, and across the nation that don't have the same experience that we do with that. So that has been something somewhat unique to Dakota County, that we've left the partisan politics out of it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been dealing with, and we talk about it a lot when you're on, Mike, is the CARES Act and the COVID pandemic and the effects that it has on society and business and just life in general. What is the latest from the state on that? Or, I mean, from the county?
Well, at a county level, we have now allocated, at least in the initial round, all $52 million that we've received from state of Minnesota and further from the federal government, from Congress, that allocated for dollars to Dakota County. So we've allocated them once. We have to go in, we're currently using and spending all of them. We have a target date in December that we have to have it used and spent by. So we've done that, and right now, as we're going through that process, we're making sure that the money can get spent, and if not, we have to reallocate that. So we'll, in the coming weeks, we'll be having we have a target on the website. If you go to CARES funding on dakotacounty.us, you can actually see where all the money is going, how much has been already spent, how much will be spent by the end. And in a matter of weeks, if we do not have, as we've seen happen, some of the things we proposed to spend it on have gone and become less, we're planning on reallocating them to other causes.
And I know that. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, Mike. I was just going to say that a couple points. One is, I don't think you can find a county that's doing a better job of using it for real world efforts. Small business grants now, home based businesses are eligible, but we've got so many local businesses that have been struggling, and these are grant dollars. It's for broadband access and expansion. It's for testing. It's all of the dollars that have been allocated. None of it's going towards fluffy things. It's all going towards very appropriate, very helpful things that help our local residents and our local businesses. Second point, though, that I wanted to make, and equally important, is the person that's on with us, Chairman Slavik, and our legislative delegation. Nobody worked harder to ensure that we got our share. When the federal dollars came out, I don't know if folks know this, but it basically went to Minneapolis and St. Paul. Hennepin and Ramsey got everything. All the other dollars went into the state, and it took months for those dollars to come out. The initial number that we heard that Dakota County was going to get was about $28 million for our residents and our businesses. These are federal tax dollars, your tax dollars and
mm-hmm.
mine,
right.
And most of it was going elsewhere. So Mike Slavik and our legislative folks, Congresswoman Craig, went to bat with the governor to make sure. And as a result of their efforts, we got $52 million for our local residents, our small businesses. It's a big, big deal.
Yeah, well, thanks, Joe, for sharing that, because I think that it was definitely a team effort. I mean, I don't know if I would say it was all me, but we spent a lot of time on the phone with other elected officials and trying to make the case that a county like Dakota puts a lot of money into the pot. And just because of that reason, and many more, we should be equitable in the dollars returned.
Well, 8%, right, Mike? 8%. I've heard you say it. I've heard our board members say it. We're 8% of the state's population. We contribute more than 8%. Our residents and businesses, more than 8% of the state's tax dollars. And we just want our proportionate share of that when the money's sent out, rather than seeing it go all over elsewhere around the state.
And to give you a perspective, if you would actually, in normal years, factor in what those numbers would be based on bonding money and other dollars in there, you're closer to about 4 on an average. So So Dakota County has a lot of, is actually paying for a lot of the state of Minnesota, and just like Minnesota's paying for a lot of the federal budget, because we are a net contributor on both sides. That is for sure.
How much did it factor in that Dakota County does not run a debt? They don't have a debt load. How much does that figure into that that final decision for the $52 million? I mean, that, well, I would think that shows excellent fiduciary discipline anyway.
Well, I'll jump in and let Joe finish this, because Joe knows it from the legislative side. But I would say that being debt-free as a county and the strong financial position that Dakota County in is almost always a blessing and a curse. We do a great job, but we sometimes they go say, well, then you pay for it yourself because you're actually doing a good job.
Right.
And Joe, I don't know if you have further to say on that.
Oh, shoot, Mike. Being, I'll tell you, it's much more of a blessing. I understand why people call it a curse as well, but it's being one of just a small handful of counties nationwide that's debt-free is an enormous feather in our cap, and it allows us. Well, look at what we're going through right now. Is the whole COVID pandemic, the economic crisis? Most counties are having a heck of a time weathering that storm, and we are too. I mean, it's not like it's easy, but boy, are we in a much better position as a result of being debt-free and not having to pay tens of millions of dollars in debt service on, you know, interest, like being a, like on a mortgage. We're able to do a 0%. Tax levy increase for 2021. I don't think most cities and counties are going to be able to pull that off.
And I would say this is something that when Joe joined the county board, he, I think, was a very good opening. Why it had been so often a curse is previous boards had kind of gone and said, well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. And Joe has continued to remind the board that we contribute in, and it's okay for us to ask for it's okay for us to ask for bonding requests and not just one and all that. And, you know, to give an example, the most recent bonding bill that just passed and signed yesterday by the governor has more money for Dakota County than we've ever seen in a given bonding bill for the county.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the numbers, Mike, and we got $17 million in this year's Public Works, the bonding bill is what people call it, compared to $18 million in total that we've gotten over the last 10 years. So it was a heck of a year, and every one of our projects is rock solid. It's going to put people to work. It's much needed. It's for safety. It's for doubling clean energy coming out of the hydroelectric dam down at Billsby. It's for protecting pedestrians. These are good, solid projects with a regional impact. So it's only fair that we should get our share of that public works bill coming back here to the taxpayers and businesses of Dakota County.
Yeah.
And what then, what are some of the projects then that are on the top of that list going into the next year?
Well, I'll talk about the first one, and I'll let you keep going from the rest of the first one in.
I was going to suggest the same thing. Mike.
Yeah. The first thing. One in my district is, this is that challenge when you're having your radio interview over the phone. You can't look eye to eye and say, well, you go first. So so we are in, literally have the turbines for the hydroelectric dam at Lake Billsby in bubble wrap on site. So that project, we can award and get moving immediately, and that is, we've talked about this in past shows, but that is the kind of a state contribution for the upgrading of the turbines for the hydroelectric dam at Lake Billsby. So we did receive $6 million on that project, and that's that goes with an additional bonding allocation that we've received in, I guess you could say, phase one. So that's very exciting. That's going to be able to go and double the production of electricity, but also make 110-plus-year-old turbines be efficient and be able to last, hopefully, for another 100 years with that. And, Joe, you can talk about the other projects.
No, that one's enormous. And frankly, and Mike doesn't give himself enough credit almost all the time. That we weren't originally, that Billsby Dam project wasn't in the first effort at the bonding bill that the legislature came out with. And Mike and our own legislative delegation, especially folks representing Hastings, and rural parts of Dakota County, went to the wall to get that project in there. And if it wasn't in there, those are dollars that would have to be shouldered by the taxpayers of Dakota County. It's darn near something like $100 per taxpayer if we hadn't been able to get it through the state's public works bill. The other three projects, so we've got one Diffley Road pedestrian safety project near three schools in Eagan. We've got Veterans Memorial Greenway in Southern Inver Grove, very accessible to folks from Hastings and rural parts of Dakota County. We have 23,000 veterans across Dakota County. We're the second leading county with respect to being home to vets, and yet we don't have any county memorials to their service. In addition, the county's busiest park at Lebanon Hills and the county's busiest greenway at Mississippi River Greenway, the connection between it is along a bunch of streets. You got to cross two highways and busy rail lines with hundreds of thousands of cars traveling up and down them on a weekly basis. So that trail will enable families and residents to travel safely between the county's busiest park and our busiest greenway. And then finally, we got a little bit of money for the recycling zone number two. Recycling zone number one up in northern Dakota County is incredibly busy, especially with folks being at home more and recycling more. And RZ2, as we affectionately call it, gets some of the spade work done to do a second recycling facility in further south in Dakota County.
Excellent.
So those are some of the projects.
Excellent.
And I would just add on that recycling zone is that's actually a partnership with Scott County, so it will be a regional recycling zone.
Nice. Well, gentlemen, yep. I hate to cut you off. There's a lot of information here, but we've got about a minute left. And in that minute, Commissioner Atkins, I would like to give you the opportunity to provide contact information in case any of your constituents may have questions or concerns. How can they reach you?
Call Mike. Here's his personal cell phone number.
That's what he usually says.
That's
yeah.
No, standard response, yeah.
No, sure. My direct number, and I answer it myself, is 438-4430. At the county, it rolls right over to my phone. So I surprise people when I pick it up. They're thinking they're getting my voicemail, and they actually get me. Or by email, if folks are more comfortable with that. It's joe.atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S. At co.dakota.mn.us. And Mike, you mentioned it when we were getting ready. I send out a newsletter and email update. If folks want to be on that, just shoot me an email or give me a call with your email address, and I'll add you to the list.
And that is
thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a very informative newsletter. I get a lot of good information from that myself. You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7. Thank you.